scripture reading from this morning is we will read from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Probably by now, I love this chapter. We will read from verse 8 to verse 13, and we will also read John chapter 10 from verse 1 to 10. Lord, as we take this book you've given us before us, and as we open these pages, Lord, we pray that in the same way you will open our hearts and our minds to these words. Lord, that our understanding of these words would be clear. Lord, and that the lesson we learn from this today will be something that we can take with us and use out in the world around us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remained in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leaf stumps, when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." Now turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 10. We will read the first 10 verses. The heading is "The Shepherd and His Flock." "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Blessed are the words of our Lord. I'm going to start off by telling you about the school that I went to when I was in high school. It was actually a very good school. This worst school in Kumalan, there in Humansdorp, and you can see the good products that came out of that school, can't you? Yeah. Whatever you're thinking of me if you laugh at me for that. Anyhow, that school across the road had a church. Not a school, had a church, but there was a church. Good neighborhood. But it wasn't that fascinated me about our school and the area it was situated in. What fascinated me about our school was that right next to the school was the girls' hostel with a big high wall around it. And all the beautiful farm girls from Potensi and Anki and all the areas, Jeffreys Bay, the surfer girls, all of them would be in that hostel. Then on the corner was the provincial hospital. And then next to that was the boys' hostel. And I always thought, why would I have a hospital between the girls' hostel and a boys' hostel. And then one day, I come to this clever conclusion. That was because the head of the hostel, Mr. Schultz, who was also the biology teacher in our school, the head of the hostel was a big, big guy. And this guy, this Mr. Schultz, owned a shotgun. And I know this because he kept on telling us boys, I have got a shotgun. So he owned a shotgun. And so it was very significant to me that there was a hostel, a hospital between these two hostels. So if you happen to get shot trying to climb over the wall, the hospital was right there. I decided never to climb that wall, because I continuously got this picture in my mind of me lying in the hospital on a gurney, and a big mama of a nurse standing there with a pair of tweezers taking birdshot out of my bum. Not a nice picture. And I know them. They probably would have pushed the tweezer a bit further in or deeper in than what it should have gone in. So Mr. Schultz, with his shotgun, became the gateway to this girls' hostel. If you want to get into the hostel, you had to be in Mr. Schultz's good books. And that's why I decided to take biology. I didn't particularly like that subject, but I took biology, and I did well in it because I wanted to impress Mr. Schultz. Not that that did me any good. I never got in that way or any other way. So Jesus says, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. Now, we don't always understand exactly what this means unless we know what these sheep's pens look like. That is now very green and all that, so you probably think that's not in the Holy Land. But that's actually what a sheep pens look like in the Holy Land. The gateway there's got no posts. You cannot hang a gate on there. So at night, when the shepherd brought his sheep from the pastures, they would follow him. He would lead them into this. And then the shepherd would go lie in the gate. And nothing can go out or can go in unless the shepherd, like Mr. Schultz with his shotgun, allowed him in or out. So what Jesus is saying is that he is the gatekeeper. He is the gate itself, not just even a keeper, but he is the gate. And he is the way to eternal salvation. And it's through Jesus, who is the gate, that we find, that we come in or go out. But we also found that there were those amongst the true followers of Jesus, those who had entered, not through Jesus the gate, but through other means. Jesus speaks of them. Perhaps they were wall climbers. Perhaps they were not scared of Mr. Schultz and his shotgun. And so they climbed the wall of the girls' hostel. Or they climbed the wall of the sheep pen. And when Jesus speaks in our passage we've read this morning, he addresses the Pharisees. Because they were the ones who came before. The ones who were ever hearing, but never understanding. Ever seeing, but never perceiving. Their hearts were cold, their ears were dull, and their eyes were closed. And it's God who's done this to them. It's God who's done this to them. Alvin asked me a while ago, why? Why would God not allow people to see and hear? Remember when you heard this the first time, Alvin? You said, why would God do this? Why would Jesus, in Mark chapter 4, say, and tell his disciples when he says this, say that the secret of the kingdom of heaven is given to them. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Be ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Strange, isn't it? The answer to this and what God said to Isaiah is found in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 8. God says, woe to you who add house to house and join field to field till no space is left, and you live alone in the land. Woe to you. Woe to your greed. woe to those who rise early in the morning to run after their drinks, who stay up late at night till they're inflamed with wine. They have harps and lyres at their banquets, pipes and trumpets and wine. And it's a nice party that God paints a picture of here. But they have not, but have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the works of His hand. Woe to you chasing the pleasures of this world. Woe to you. Woe to those who draw sin along with cords of deceit and wickedness as with cord ropes. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God says, woe to your lies, woe to your deceitfulness. Verse 21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. God says, woe to your self-righteousness. Verse 22, woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks. Woe to those who acquit the guilty for a bribe, but deny justice to the innocent. Woe to your dishonesty. Woe to your injustice. Woe to your paying of bribes. I hope there's nobody taking bribes here. Woe to you too then. It's our society that God speaking to. It's our society. Verse 25. Therefore the Lord's anger burns against His people. His hand raised and He strikes them down. His anger burns against His people. His hand raised and He strikes them down. So yes, we have them in our churches. We have them in all the churches that we go to. The Pharisees. Those good people who can do nothing wrong and will do nothing wrong. You know, they're so good. If you travel down Bimidamani Street and we see the speed limit is 60 kilometers and the municipality now change it to 50 kilometers, they're so good that they will drive 40 kilometers. And if they happen one day to be in a hurry and they go 50.5 kilometers, just a little bit over the speed limit, these Pharisees were so good, they would then go walk down Bimidamani Street just flogging himself, I should go slower. That's how good these guys were. Believe it or not, the Pharisees weren't bad people. They were the good guys. They were the ones you would have loved to have as your neighbor. Always the quiet ones. Always the well-behaved ones. And their visitors would be very decent people. They were the people who you would ask to look after your house when you go away on holiday. But God made them ever hearing but never understanding. Ever seeing but never perceiving. Because they had no place in their heart for the people God placed in their care. Their hearts were as hard as stone. And so because they trust in their own abilities and their own righteousness, because they were wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight, and their faith in God was but a mere expression of words, stuff they do to impress other people, but secretly they only trust in their own ability. So yes, they were wall climbers. These thieves and robbers Jesus speaks of. But they weren't the only thieves and robbers in that sheep pen we saw earlier on. Also included in that group of thieves and robbers were people who gave the impression that they were sheep themselves, that they were following the shepherd. Gave the impression that they were Jesus' followers. People just like Judas Iscariot. So much so that they take bread from Jesus just like Judas did, knowing that they are going to betray him like Judas did, the 30 silver pence, because Judas carried the purse. And because that purse became more important to Judas than a reason for a purse. Because the amount of silver coins in a purse more important to him than a good that money could have done. People like Judas Iscariot drink from the cup, knowing that they will not proclaim Jesus' death until he comes. Yep, they also in that sheep pen. These are the people who are in the church to rob and steal and kill and destroy. Not to rob and steal the money of the church or the possessions of the church, but to rob the people in the church of their salvation by misleading them. Who steal their hope and their peace by causing disunity amongst the people of God. Who kill the faith of others with their acts of righteousness and self-importance. These are the people who are trying to destroy the work that God's doing in other people. Because they think they know better than anyone else, God included. They think they know better than God. And there's no humbleness in them. Therefore, the Lord's anger burns against his people. And God made them ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. But this is the good news for us. This is the good news for us. Those who've entered through the gate, those who've entered through Jesus, we are the ones who know the shepherd. And we will not follow these false leaders, these Pharisees, the noisy self-seeking Judas Iscariot amongst us. We will not listen to him. We will know the shepherd's voice because we know his heart. For it's only when you know his heart that you can enter through this gate Jesus is. And when you enter then, ever hearing, always understanding, ever seeing, ever perceiving. And when we hear with understanding and see and notice what's happening, what God's doing, God's mission will become clear to us. And our focus will not be on filling the purses of churches, but on the using of the purse to bring glory to God. So when we hear with understanding and see and notice, we will follow Jesus as he leads us out, because we know the shepherd's voice. Pastor Avi, Pastor Yanni, Jaco, these guys will tell you how frustrating it is to stand in a pulpit Sunday after Sunday, bringing a message, and then come the following week, we see people just seem to get this. People are ever hearing, always hearing the sermons, always hearing what scripture tells them, but never understanding, and never seeing, and never perceiving. And we see how people deal with one another, with fellow believers, and we cannot see anything of Jesus inside of them. And you think to yourself, don't they get it? Don't they get it? Bobby, you have moments like that before. Don't they get it? Don't they listen? Don't they understand? As God closed their eyes and their ears because they didn't come in through Jesus. If you're one of those people, maybe today is the day that you should actually go to Jesus. Say to him, here I am, Lord. Let me in. Let me be one of your sheep. Allow me to hear your voice. Use me. Lead me out from here again. And use me. Because people will know who you are by the way you follow Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks this morning for this place where we can gather. Lord, for this place where we can feed our spirits and our souls. Lord, for this place where we can listen to your message. Father, we pray this morning is our prayer of intercession for brothers and sisters in our churches all over Middelburg and all over this country who have not yet entered through the gate. Lord, we pray that you would work in their hearts. Lord, we pray even that you will not close their ears and their eyes and their understanding, but that you will work through your Spirit, so that they will also know your voice when you call them. Father, we also have the freedom this morning to come to you and to pray for the parts in our country, especially the southern and eastern Cape, Lord, which is ravaged by fire. Lord, for people who have lost their lives and family who mourn their loss. Lord, we pray also for those who have lost their homes, Lord, and property. For those who are left desolate. Lord, for those who are not insured. Maybe they only had a shack, Lord, and now they have nowhere to go. Lord, our hearts bleed for them this morning. And Father, we know that you are there with them, that you feel their sorrow, Lord, that you see at what's happened around them. But Lord, we pray that somehow you would just reach out, touch them, and comfort them. Father, we pray this in the freedom we have of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You will notice that we've got a few visitors here this morning. This is part of a 2-week visit. So next week, Pastor Avi and Pastor Yanni will bring us the message. But this week, I want to introduce a few of these young chaps here. And they're going to come just share a little bit of their journey with Christ with you this morning. It's not going to be long. And hopefully they're going to give you enough just to make you lekker nuskierig, so that afterwards at tea, you can go and chat to them. For many of them, it's the first time that they stand in front of a crowd, especially an ugly bunch like you lot, so they're going to be scared. Okay, sorry, a beautiful bunch like you lot. But it's great that they have the courage to come and share a bit of their story here this morning. They're going to introduce themselves. You can use these mics. I don't know who's first. Who's the brave one that's going to take the first stand? There we go. Some of them is going to speak in Afrikaans and some of them in English. Use that mic. So let's hear what they have to say for us.
Yo, guys aren't that ugly, I must say. Good morning, guys. My name is Jared. I'm just going to share a little bit of my testimony and my life and as to how I met the Lord. Well, the Lord actually found me, you know. But I actually want to tell you, I was lying in bed last night and I was thinking of what I'm going to say, you know. And I was thinking of something that my girlfriend told me. Said to me, Jared, you know what? I said, what? You remind me of Google. I said, what? Google? Why? Because you know everything. Anyway, here I go. So, what happened to me was, I was staying in Cullinan, okay? And I was on the streets. I didn't know what I was going to do, where I was going to go, where I was going to get my next meal from. And all of a sudden, this man out of nowhere came up to me. And really, he just came up to me and he said to me, he was reading his Bible, and the Lord sent him that someone needs help. He came straight up to me and prayed for me, bought me a meal, made a couple of phone calls, and there I was by Urbanot. And I tell you what, ever since I've been there, I've been to 7 rehabs, okay? And I've always had something holding me back, whether it was the thought of my girlfriend, whether it was the thought of my family, whereas this time I've got nothing. And I want to thank you to all these guys here who's given me clothes, who's really, really helped me. And the Lord is doing something in my life that I cannot explain to you guys, really. And, you know, I just want to thank you and I give praise to the Lord, really. Can I get an amen?
Gebruik 10 jaar in my lewe en ek het die Here gevind. Ek het so 1500 rand 'n dag gebruik.
Werner. Who's next? Okay, is that it? Werner is starting to do counseling and starting to do ministry. But hopefully next week Werner will share some of that with us. There's the courage.
Hi, my name is Werner. I'm Edward Venos. I'm very shy, actually. So if I sound like Moses, be patient, please. I actually dropped bottom. And from there, God just picked me up. And by humbling myself, I got approached by a TV station now by Stevie. They chose me as one of the students. And I'm not even qualified for that. And that just shows me God can use for something that you are not qualified for. And I'm busy studying it now. And I'm still actually don't understand how I got there. So I don't know where I'm going. I'm just doing it.
Thank you, Werner. Thanks, guys. Thanks for taking the time and having the courage to come and share some of your stories. Please, speak to them, listen to them, hear what they've got, what they can share with you. Can I hand over now to the elders? The offering will now be taken.